The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour One Podcast.
Hey, Rick Pleasant, good afternoon. We appreciate you joining us, and we are here for the next 4 hours. And in the middle of the week of week five of the SEC season, there's quite a bit going on. And let's start with some headlines from the Bayou, where you've heard about this for a while, but today we see it. LSU has self-imposed penalties and has banned Odell Beckham Jr. from the facilities for 2 years. Remember that incident a couple of years ago? Well, not a couple of years ago, a couple of months ago after the national championship game. Robert Munson, the senior AD, says LSU has worked proactively in cooperation with the NCAA to identify and self-report any violations that occurred within our program. We believe these self-imposed penalties are appropriate, and we will continue to coordinate and cooperate with the NCAA. So that story coming out of Baton Rouge. It's not the only one. With LSU back on the field this weekend after missing last week because of COVID against Florida, Ed Orgeron talking about who will be the quarterback. Coach O.
We don't think that Miles Brennan is going to be able to play. It's still not 100% yet, but he's very questionable. Max and TJ have looked very good in practice. We'll make a decision at the end of the week. We're not going to change the offense. We kept the same offense, so we're running the same plays. Nothing's changed much. We're going to give because that's what they've been running. I have no problem starting either one. Whatever one is going to be, it's going to be very close, and more than likely both of them will play.
So what are we talking about here? We're talking about two young men, Finley and Johnson, both freshmen, both big kids, both pocket passers, both highly regarded. And South Carolina's going, we like the looks of this. Meanwhile, nobody likes the looks of what's going on in Gainesville. More problems. Coach Mullen out, other assistants out, and the facilities will remain closed until Monday because of COVID-19. Remember, they had to miss a game, rearrange some games. And we're hoping, you can only hope, that by Monday things have quieted down. Game next week, and then Georgia is coming up. Meanwhile, Kirby Smart, as only Kirby Smart can do, I feel great about Stetson Bennett and his performance against Alabama. And Georgia fans all over are going, yeah, we could have had Trevor Lawrence. We did have Justin Fields. And we're happy to have Stetson Bennett, according to Kirby Smart. Finally, Dino Babers, who right now is lucky to have a job. Maybe he's getting ready for a career as a commentator, because he said that even Alabama is chasing Clemson. All of that after his team lost the other day to Hugh Freeze's Liberty. Maybe Dino ought to just worry about coaching and quit being the next Kirk Herbstreit. Anyway, we'll do all of that. We'll get your phone calls, of course. Let's talk about who will be popping by here. We'll start with Matt Baker on the Gators issue. And then the aforementioned Hugh Freeze. Hugh Freeze is off and running, doing a great job. And he's playing Southern Miss this weekend, his alma mater, and they have an opening. Not that we're trying to start anything here. John Adams, not the president, but the commentator. He has not been president of Jeremy Pruitt's fan club lately. Greg McElroy, and late in the show, Pat Dooley, more on the Gator situation, and Dooley will join us. Right now, we are going to take your phone calls at 855-242-7285. And we begin with John in Birmingham. Hey, John, good afternoon.
Hi, Paul. Why are we talking to Hugh Freeze?
You can blame me for that. I thought it was a good idea to talk to a guy that just beat a ACC team and has a great reputation as the guy who really got the RPO going in the SEC. You have any objection?
Boy, he really got you. Hugh really got into you. I don't know what he told you. He got one of the worst hypocritical men I've ever. The BS that came out of his mouth when he was coaching at in the SEC about he was such a fine Christian man and a little blessed and blah blah blah.
Mm-hmm.
And then we find out the real Hugh Freeze. And then probably a good coach. I don't doubt that. Bill Cosby was a good actor.
He was. Great actor.
And, but yet, you had lunch with him or something, and all of a sudden he's just – and then he goes to Liberty.
Well, let's make sure we get the facts correct here. I had dinner with him, not lunch. It was too long for lunch.
Okay. Okay.
Much too long a conversation for a hot dog and a Diet Pepsi.
Who was the fine leader at Liberty?
That would have been Jerry Falwell Jr.
How's he doing now?
He's having problems these days. Ever since it came out that he was stalking his wife with a young man. Well, he was watching it. I don't know. I can't remember the story, but it was pretty salacious. Salacious, excuse me.
Well, Hugh Freeze, man, he just got right.
You know, listen, I run a talk show here, not a revival, but you are familiar with redemption and you know absolution, aren't you?
Yeah, I am.
I mean, none of us are perfect.
Yeah, but there's certain lines you don't cross. Hypocrisy,
okay,
to me, is one of the worst sins. And when you spit out all this wonderful leadership, fine man, love the Bible, Bible-toting, I'm blessed, we're blessed, and then you...
Well, John, you sound like a man who understands faith and... second chances and redemption. You don't think he deserved a second chance? I mean, he didn't coach for 2 years, couldn't get a job. Nick Saban wanted him in Tuscaloosa as his offensive coordinator. He couldn't be hired.
That doesn't shock me. Nick Saban doesn't care about morality.
Oh, man. Who does, by the way?
I just think he has really sold you a bill of goods, and you're gonna bring me back today.
Well, you know, there's no question. I'm fairly naive, being in my position and being a journalist for these many years and seeing some of the things that I usually fall for anything.
Well, I just say.
Hey, John. Let me cut to the chase here. I was on the air the night that he was fired. I commentated on the story. I was shocked. I'd sat in his office countless times in Oxford and heard him talk about the same things that you did. The only reason I bring up that dinner was for 3 hours I sat and listened to him talk. That's all. It doesn't matter to me if anybody likes Hugh Freeze. This is a cold, cruel business that we're talking about. And most athletic directors don't really care what their coaches do as long as they win and don't get caught. It's not a matter of walking the straight and narrow. As long as they don't get caught, they're happy with it. And the second they get caught, they get fired. And that's what happened to Hugh Freeze. I'm not going to sit here in judgment of what he did. I mean, we have people in every walk of life. I'm not going to say any more because then it sounds like I'm crossing a line here that have made terrible mistakes. I've sinned just like you have, and the only difference between my sins and yours is they haven't been the lead item on the news every night.
There's a little difference. I don't go around preaching the morality and holier than thou. And then I think it's very interesting that he ended up at Liberty with the Falwell guy.
Yeah.
And what's happened to Falwell. I mean, you got two peas in a pod up there, apparently.
I can't, John, I can't sit here and tell you that when the story came out about Falwell, I didn't gulp. But Then again, that's not my, you know, my concerns aren't what happens at Liberty. But anyway, I think I've explained enough. I thought it was a pretty good story. And the reason why is we had a guy on yesterday, Stuart Mandel, who credited Hugh Freeze for changing the SEC. I can assure you, my job here isn't to promote Hugh Freeze's career. He doesn't really need it. When you have a win like you did the other day, people are going to pay attention. We're here to talk about him and what he's done and really his philosophy. But I get it. Everybody has a different opinion, and that's fair. Charles from Realtown, you're a believer in second chances, aren't you, Charles?
Oh, yeah. I've had plenty of them, Paul. You have, too. So you think that's a coach I hadn't thought of, Paul. You think he would come to Auburn?
Yeah, I think he would go anywhere in the SEC.
Really? Well, would you let me talk to him?
So, Charles, are you going to negotiate the deal? Is that it?
No, I'm going to ask him, would he be interested in Auburn? And I get to
Charles, let me ask you a common sense question here. You're banned from coaching for 2 years. You can't even get an assistant's job in the SEC. And I think Coach Freeze had about 6 or 7 offers. You end up at Liberty University, and nothing against Liberty. I'm sure they teach and mold young men and women perfectly. And then somebody like Southern Miss or Auburn or something like that offered you a job. You think you'd take it?
Yeah, I do. Don't you believe in second chances?
I'll let you back on the show.
Well, you did. Well, you believe in second chances then, don't you?
Of course. I mean, Charles, I believe everyone deserves a second chance. I mean, we're not talking about them. I mean, this is not an axe murderer here.
Auburn needs a coach.
Yeah.
And I just wonder if he'd be interested in it.
Well, I don't know about that, but let me say this. We'll talk to Coach in a few minutes. Can't wait. Look forward to it. More of your calls and commentary when we come back.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
We welcome you back. A lot to do on this program. We started mentioning the situation at the University of Florida. Matt Baker joining us from Tampa. Matt, good afternoon. Thank you for being here. And tell us whatever you can about the current situation down there.
Sure. Thanks for having me on, Paul. So here's the latest that we got from Gators coach Dan Mullen earlier today on the SEC teleconference. There continue to be more cases, as of on Tuesday, there was at least one more positive, the tests that were done on Tuesday. Some of the numbers are kind of hard to line up just because we don't know the exact dates for all of them. But here's what I would say is between tests done on October 12th and those done on the 19th, there were 25 more positives, plus at least one more since then. know, Mullen says everybody, just about everybody's feeling fine. Maybe it's a mild symptom. Mullen says he's feeling fine. Didn't quite sound like himself. Honestly, just sounded like he had a cold. And talking to him earlier today, but he, you know, his family is doing well. He's isolating in a different part of the house. He's got the bedroom and the office next to it. His family has the rest, and they're trying to kind of get ready for when they will resume practice. The current plan, or at least the expected and hoped plan in Gainesville, is that they would get back to being on the field and doing football, actual football things, on Monday. As of right now, you know, they've been shut down, and it would be 14 days that they would have been shut down. I'm curious how that would look if they can indeed go back on Monday. We don't know to what extent people will still be out, because we don't know on symptoms and how many people are quarantined and what coaches will be there and all that stuff. But the plan, at least the hope, is that they will be back on Monday getting ready for Missouri in a five-day turnaround where they haven't done anything for 2 weeks, and now they've got a game week trying to get back into it with a non-full roster.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the obvious questions are contact tracing, but I'm not sure that really matters at this point, does it, considering that nothing is happening?
Well, nothing is happening in terms of what's actually going on the field. But, I mean, obviously there's still people. Not everybody is quarantined, so they can still go out and do things. And, you know, that's one of the interesting things in terms of the positive that they just had the other day. Now they're going to be able to, once they figure all these things out, they can kind of trace who got it from where, and now that things aren't going on, did somebody get it from somewhere else, and all that stuff. But the reason they shut down last week is they wanted to do like what the NFL does. Is, okay, we've got an issue here. The best thing to do is shut it down so we can kind of start the clock over, start at zero with no cases, and you know they're not at that case at that point right now, but they're hoping to be back there. And again, when they resume on Monday, assuming they do, they're still not going to have a full roster. I think they expect to play against Missouri, but given the way things have been, I don't know that that's a guarantee.
Yeah, for that game to happen, I guess a lot of numbers here that we don't really know the answers to, but even if it does happen, you're talking about a game where nothing has really happened for 2 weeks, right?
Correct. And obviously there's a rust component of it, because they, you know, I don't know to what extent the players have been able to work to throw around with each other informally, because we don't know who's who has it, who's quarantined. So that's one question. Just from an athletic standpoint, I'm sure the guys, as they've been able to, have been doing some sort of workouts on their own. Are they going to be in football shape after 2 weeks? Maybe, but not necessarily. And Mullen said that they were going to kind of try and build back up a little bit, but it's not great to build back up during the season when you've got 5 days to prepare for a Missouri team with a new head coach that I don't know how well the staff knows them. So just from a pure football perspective here, taking the other stuff out, it's a tall order, again, just from a football perspective.
Matt Baker with us talking about the Florida situation. I'm sure there have been worse situations, Matt, although I can't remember one. And again, we don't know all the details of this yet, but it doesn't sound very good. But, I mean, you really do have to wonder. I mean, Missouri's coming up, and then, what, Georgia the week after?
Correct, Georgia the week after. And that's, you know, this whole thing has stunk for everybody. I mean, literally everybody in the country and probably everybody in the world, this is stunk. It's very interesting what's happened with the Gators, because if you would have told me, go back in time to February, which is like 80 years ago, I would have thought the Gators could have a chance against Georgia. I don't know that I would have picked them to win, but I thought it could be a very entertaining game, and maybe this was the year. And then as we went through all this stuff, and then even in August, I looked at it and said, you know what? I think the stability that the Gators have in terms of the coaching staff, in terms of the veteran quarterback and Kyle Trask, in terms of all the guys that returned on the offensive line, it would be set up for a year for the Gators to beat Georgia. But as we sit here today, it's a really tough task. And you know, I don't know that it would have happened anyway. I'm not going to go out on that hypothetical limb. But when you add in the situation that the Gators have just been dealt with, just like everybody else has been dealt with weird curveballs this godforsaken year, it's going to be a really hard order in what would have been the pivotal game.
Talking to Matt Baker, and Matt, I know Dan Mullen alluded to it today, but tell us what you know from those conversations and others. He indicated he felt most of this came from the trip to College Station.
Correct. That's what Scott Strickland, the AD, said last week.
Okay.
As well. And the thought process is that, you know, they didn't have an outbreak beforehand. They think one or two players basically boarded the trip. They had mild symptoms, allergy, headache, that sort of thing, and got on the trip, thought it was no big deal. And then once they're in a different setting outside of their kind of home college football bubble is when things can happen. You know, we've all been on airplanes. Those are not these most roomy places. It'd be easy for things to spread there, potentially rooming with people in a hotel room, pre-game meal, a cramped locker room at A&M. I'm not, you know, nobody to my knowledge is saying that A&M did anything malfeasant or anything like that. Nobody's blaming this on the crowd at College Station. Nothing like that. It's just the fact that they're in a different environment, and the spaces that they are in were much more confined than they typically are at home in Gainesville, where they've got a bigger locker room and they don't have to get on a plane and that sort of thing. And the close proximity that they had, what we know about the virus, that it spreads easily in confined spaces with close quarters, and that's potentially why they think that it went from one or two guys who had been tested negative and still being symptomatic to where we are now, where it's at least 25 players since then, something like that.
Man, I know it's water under the bridge, but it just seems, I'm not sure what it seems, maybe negligent to, you know, to brush off somebody with allergies or the sniffles 7 months into a pandemic when everyone in America knows what the first signs are.
Yeah, and Strickland, when he talked about it last week, he didn't necessarily sound upset, but he did point out, like, these guys broke protocol. Because the protocol in a situation like that, where if you feel symptoms, and here's what the symptoms are, everybody, just about everybody knows what the symptoms are. If you feel something, you're supposed to say something and get tested and get looked at. And they, you know, one or two players did not. And that's, you know, seems like that's the reason why the Gators are in the situation where they are right now, where they're going to be out of football for 14 days with two games postponed and really going to be scrambling to kind of stay alive in the SEC East.
Yeah, again, the postmortem on this has not been offered or issued. We're nowhere near that, but these are all rather troubling signs. Matt, thanks. I know it's what happens to a reporter in all this. I guess you're locked out either way, aren't you?
Yeah, I haven't been. You know, I'm not talking to these guys. It's funny. I'm covering the IndyCar Grand Prix in St. Petersburg this weekend. It was going to be the opener for the series. In March, it was literally, by my count, the last major American sporting event to shut down during that time. I'll be out there this weekend. It'll be the first time I've actually talked face-to-face with an athlete since March, and I'm going to see one of my colleagues. I haven't seen one of my colleagues in person, any of my colleagues in person, since March either. So it's going to be very weird and nice to get back to some sort of normal, even as the main part of my job covering college football remains. Very, 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 very weird.
Instinctively, I was about to think, well, you could at least go watch the World Series, and I forgot the World Series is in Texas. So
yep.
nothing is normal. Hey, Matt, thanks for coming on. Always great to have you on.
You got it. Thanks, Paul.
Good stuff from Matt Baker. That's a troubling situation down there. Hopefully they can plow through and be ready to play a week from Saturday. We are heading to a break. Hugh Freeze joining us in a few minutes. More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Welcome back. We appreciate you being here on this Wednesday afternoon. Hugh Freeze will join us later on. We'll head back to Florida a little later, and some other guests will be dropping in here. Let's get back to the calls at 855-242-7285. And Ken is up next in North Carolina. Hello, Ken.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Ken, we're doing great. Thank you for calling.
Yes, I was interested. I watch the SEC Game of the Week every week. And what were the protocols? I know Florida's killed with the coronavirus, but how come Saban got cleared to play, to coach in that game against Georgia? That confused me. Explain that.
I will be happy to. Yeah, he took a test on Wednesday last week, and it came back positive. So he tested again the very next day, and it came back negative, which indicated maybe he had a false positive. So by Friday, he took it again, and it was negative. So then, therefore, he needed one more negative test due to the new protocol. And by the way, there's a really great article today by Alan Blinder in the New York Times that talked about how this changed a couple weeks ago because of a soccer player at Texas A&M. Under the previous protocol, he would not have been allowed back, but they changed it, not without any knowledge that it was Nick Saban about to be in the hopper. And Saturday morning, they did another test, and normally they drive these tests, I think, to a Mobile, Alabama testing site, but because of the importance of the game, Alabama got the test sample, put it on a private plane, flew to Mobile, which about a 45-50 minute flight, did the test, and by noon, about 10:30 or 11, I should say, they knew that Saban was clear. They knew by the second test, but so that's what happened, and because of that, he was able to coach.
Well, I believe Paul Saban's one of the greatest coaches of all time. And this is kind of funny. My 9-year-old grandson was watching the ball game with me. And when Saban threw his first fit, my grandson said, "Papa, is that what you're talking about, throwing a fit?" And I said, "Yeah. Sure is."
That's fine. Hey, well,
thanks for your call.
Thank you, and really appreciate it. Enjoyed talking to you. Earl is next in Cincinnati. Earl, thank you. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul, this is Earl T. from Cincinnati. How are you, son?
Earl, I am doing great. How are you?
Well, I'm doing good. I've caught your show since you've been on the television, and I catch it on radio now, and I've been following you since you've been on this ESPNN network, and I just want to tell you, I like all your characters. I like the squirrel feller. I like I-Man. I like that feller from Tuscaloosa, that Jim. I even like that one, that hypocrite Daryl from Georgia. But this guy that I got the first part of your show that come in and started passing judgment on Hugh Freeze for no reason at all, but maybe there is, I'm a little disappointed in that. I really didn't like the fact. I thought the only man that walked on this earth that was perfect was Christ Jesus. But evidently, John the Baptist down in Birmingham, he must be perfect.
Yeah, I agree with you. And listen, I think it's fair game. The guy was a public figure, and the walls came crashing down. But I am not trying to mitigate any transgression, whatever he did. He lost his job, and it was a great job, paying billions of dollars a year. And he may never get a job back that well, or he might. But all I was trying to convey the other day was that I'd had many conversations with Hugh Freeze, but I was just simply referencing one long evening that I spent 2 years ago in Oxford, where he went through it start to finish, and I listened. That's what I do. That's what you do. And you know what I heard that night was a story that he would tell a college administrator trying to hire him, and that's how he got hired at Liberty. Jerry Falwell Jr. or not, I have no idea what. I've never met Jerry Falwell Jr. And Yeah, to me, he deserved a second chance. He paid for his transgressions. And,
well, what you did, Paul, was give a fellow a chance to talk and tell his side of the story to you, unedited, and you just followed up and talked about it. I think this fellow down in Birmingham, Alabama, thank you, from John, I think he's a little bit upset by the fact, really, if you stop and think about it, that Hugh Freeze beat his Roll Tide Alabama twice, and I don't think he liked that, so he jumped on that. What do you think about that?
Yeah, and to me, the Hugh Freeze story is more about how he changed the SEC offensively. And, you know, what I learned that night, and he's been on this program talking about it as well, is that he probably will get another chance, and in my mind, he deserves it. I mean, there are a lot of things people can do, and you know, we have people in every walk of life, in politics, in public, in administrative work, where I work, where you work, who knows where, who do certain things, and you know, it's a terrible outcome, but most of the time they do it to themselves. In this case, he lost everything, and you know, did you know, would he ever do it again? I have no earthly idea. I really don't care. It's not my job to worry about that.
The Bible is full of stories like
that,
sure, where people come back. And good enough for Hugh Freeze. I'm in his corner, win, lose, or draw. I love the Southeastern Conference, but you can take that John feller from down Birmingham and you can put him on my delete list.
I'll do it. Hey, thank you. You be well. Ryan is in Mississippi. Hey, Ryan.
Hey, Paul. How you doing, man?
Ryan, we're doing great.
Good deal. Look, I got one question for you. Who's the best team in Mississippi?
That would be a very difficult question for me right now.
I got an answer for you. I would say Arkansas.
Are they in Mississippi? I didn't realize that, but they probably will.
Well, they beat Ole Miss and State.
Yeah, between Southern Miss, Ole Miss, and Mississippi State, I'd probably take Ole Miss.
Yeah. All right. Thanks for taking the call, Paul.
Thank you. Good to have you on. Hugh Freeze has already stirred up a little bit of controversy on this program because of a story I told. Will join us in about 30 minutes. We will continue with your phone calls in a moment at 855-242-7285.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Welcome back, and let's get to the calls. And Jerry is in Louisiana. Hey, Jerry, good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. Hey, listen, I'm a diehard LSU fan. But if we don't win Saturday, I don't know if we'll win another game this year. I mean, that defense better straighten up.
Yeah, I do think this is a critical game to win because it looked automatic before the year. South Carolina is playing better, but the games are going to really get difficult for LSU. I mean, the schedule is just insane with when you talk about Florida, Alabama, Auburn, A&M. You're going to run out of opportunities, and you just don't want to follow up a national championship in the greatest season ever with a disaster.
I know you don't realize how Alabama and Clemson does it every year until you fall like this.
The one thing I do not understand is when Ed Orgeron talked about how he thought this defense could be better than last year, I'm really curious what he was watching when he said that.
Yeah, and I tell you what, you was talking about Hugh Freeze. I'd love to have him an offensive coordinator at LSU.
Well, Hugh Freeze could, as a coordinator, could literally name his place. Head coach would be a little more challenging, but he is that well thought of. Hey, really appreciate your call. Thanks. David is up next in Texas. Hey, David.
Hey, Paul. How are you?
David, we're doing great.
I really appreciate your show, and I was watching this morning and kind of really enjoyed your Herbie the Hater remark to start with. But then I saw across the bottom of the screen the Tua news. I'm a lifetime Bama fan, and I grew up watching Zonka versus Joe Namath in the Orange Bowl.
Oh, sure.
I got it both ways, too, and went to Miami. And we've all been loving the whole story of, you know, Fitzy, the old guy, teaching Tua, the young guy. And now, all of a sudden, I'm reading they're going to start Tua? What's your thoughts?
Yeah, I when I heard that, you did have to wonder because the Dolphins are playing pretty well, but I think it has everything to do
exactly.
with giving him time to get comfortable, and he was always going to be the starter. You don't take somebody in the top five unless you've made a terrible mistake. And I what I want to know is, you know, how is he going to handle the hits? Because, you know, without preseason, we really don't know.
Yeah, so we'll always worry about the kid because he's such a great kid, and he reflects on what we'd like to see many of our young men turn out to.
Yeah, there's never been one. There are, but there have been few players as classy as Tua. Thanks for the call. Dennis in Georgia, you're on the air. Go right ahead.
Paul, I'm concerned about the quarterback situation at Auburn. Bo Nix, I think, is probably a fine young man, and his daddy was certainly a great thing for us. But he can't get the job done, and it's going to hurt our recruiting, not only for a quarterback, but for other players too. Our season is just going to be about over now because we might beat LSU, as your caller said, but I'm afraid that's out of the question.
Dennis, let me say this about you're right about Bo Nix. He's a great young man. We talked to him about it 2 weeks ago, and not only do I know his father, I covered his father as a younger reporter, and they're great people. And maybe you let that affect your mindset. I thought he was going to be unbelievable, a 4-year starter, but they are really at a crossroads right now with Bo Nix. And I know everyone wants to blame Chad Morris. He's the one that Gus Malzahn tossed the keys to and said, find a way to utilize Bo Nix more. And it turned out to be a disaster so far. He's not being protected. His weapons are somewhat limited. And I think another loss perhaps this weekend. And right now it's hard to get a gauge on this game. I think this program could just literally come undone.
Well, that's what I'm afraid of, not for just to this year.
Yeah, no, you're right. Because, you know, Gus Malzahn's been through this before, Dennis, but it's going to get worse. And, you know, I mean, I'm not saying it's over. I mean, this season, there's a lot of turns and curves that are still to be dealt with. But, you know, things are looking pretty desperate. And I don't really understand what they're trying to do offensively.
Well, I don't think anybody does. And it just being a lifelong Auburn fan for 80-something years, I just hate to see it go down the drain like it is.
Yeah, I mean, you go back to the Alabama game last year, and it looked like this program was really lifted off. But I think sometimes you can just read too much into one game. Hey, thank you for the call. I really appreciate it. Harold is up next. Harold is in Missouri. Hello, Harold.
Hello, Paul. How are you doing?
Harold,
I'm your fan that works in Arkansas and roots from Missouri. So
thank you.
Was trying to get your take on what you think of Missouri. If they've already missed one game because of COVID, they could miss the Florida game, possible. How's that going to affect Missouri, and where do you see them ending up? And I'm just kind of also following Arkansas because they seem to be getting things.
Yeah,
together.
You know, the Missouri part of it, I mean, I was so excited about the LSU win. Coach Strink, to me, is just a burst of energy, and it's what that program needed. Arkansas is the surprise team. And
yes, sir.
Yeah, I know fans are fans, and now every game is winnable, but to me, Sam Pittman's already won. Yeah, and, you know, interestingly, I you've heard this, you know, big part of the success comes from Barry Odom.
Yes, sir. It sure does.
And I think that was just,
sure
that to me, and people need to think, this is a lesson in life is, you know, surround yourself with good people. It's kind of a cliche. You always should get somebody around you that's smarter. Barry Odom was smarter than Sam Pittman when it came to being an SEC head coach. And because of that, he has helped Sam Pittman become a really good SEC head coach in just his first season. We're heading to the break. Hugh Freeze coming up here in a few minutes.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network beginning at 3 Eastern.